General Aviation makes a rather inglorious visit to Reagan National. The F-35C makes its first flight. And HBC now has WAAS for your King Air 200. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack here at Brigham City Airport in northern Utah, where I'm volunteering through Saturday for Rotors Over the Rockies, a regional meet put together by the Utah Rotorcraft Association. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast, and here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, June 9th, 2010. Here's why they have reporters sign waivers before going on media rides. The National Air and Space Museum's Legends of Flight 3D IMAX documentary was being promoted with the arrival of 8 Stearman biplanes at Reagan National Airport yesterday morning. Seeing a GA airplane land at Reagan in the post-9/11 world is a rarity, so I guess 8 at a time now qualifies as a big deal. Anyway, one of the planes ground-looped on touchdown and flipped over on its back, closing the airport for a while. The pilot, Mike Trischel of Warrenton, Virginia, and Washington Post transportation reporter Ashley Halsey were not injured. Halsey got some dramatic video of the whole thing, including the front cockpit view of the flip. Hopefully, we haven't set back the cause of one day returning GA operations to Reagan. The NTSB will investigate. The U.S. Navy's F-35C, the carrier-based variant of the Joint Strike Fighter, made its inaugural flight on Sunday. The first Lockheed Martin F-35C Lightning II carrier variant took off from Naval Air Station Fort Worth Joint Reserve Base at 11:46 Central Time and logged a 57-minute flight. Tom Burbidge, Lockheed Martin Executive VP, commented on the significance of the plane. Quote, "For the first time ever, and from now on, wherever on the world's oceans we position a 98,000-ton nuclear carrier, we can launch a long-range, lethal, stealth strike fighter with the ability to defeat the most sophisticated air defenses. Sunday's flight marks the beginning of the true introduction of a next-generation weapon system capable of providing joint coalition striking power on day one from both land and sea bases," unquote. It should be noted that day one in this context was not the day of the test flight on Sunday, but it refers to the F-35C's entry into service. That's now expected sometime in 2014. Hawker Beechcraft Services announced on Monday it's taking orders and scheduling wide area augmentation system upgrades on King Air 200 and 300 planes equipped with Rockwell Collins ProLine 21. This closely follows the introduction of the King Air C90 GTI upgrade that was announced back in March. Similar to that upgrade, the 200 and 300 WAAS upgrade offers operational flexibility and cost savings associated with direct and curved RNAV routes. WAAS RNAV offers improved access to special-use airspace, high-traffic, and terrain-challenged airports. And HBC is not finished. WAAS upgrades for the Premier 1A and Hawker 400 XP and BeastJet 400A are nearing completion and expected by the third quarter of this year. Up next on ANN, TSA's Secure Flight is now covering all domestic flights. The FBI says it nabbed 2 guys with Al-Qaeda ties at JFK. And a TSA supervisor is shot, but not by terrorists. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine 4-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 9th. I'm Paul Plack. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano says that as of Monday, the Transportation Security Administration is checking 100% of airline travelers within the U.S. and its territories against terrorist watch lists in a program TSA calls Secure Flight. Quote, "Secure Flight fulfills a key recommendation of the 9/11 Commission report, enabling TSA to screen passengers directly against government watch lists using passenger name, date of birth, and gender before a boarding pass is issued. This program is one of our many layers of security, coordinated with our partners in the airline industry and governments around the world, that we leverage to protect the traveling public against threats of terrorism," unquote. The airlines are expressing satisfaction as well. They carried the burdens of screening passengers before Secure Flight offloaded that onto the taxpayers. Air Transport Association President James May commented, quote, We are especially pleased that TSA phased program implementation to ensure that commercial airline travelers experience a seamless transition, unquote. If your name is found to match watchlist parameters, you'll be subjected to secondary screening, a law enforcement interview, or prohibited from boarding, depending on the specific situation. TSA expects the program to be in place for all international carriers with direct flights into the U.S. by the end of this year. Two New Jersey men, the FBI says, have ties to Al-Qaeda, were arrested at JFK International Airport Saturday night as they attempted to board separate flights leaving the country. 20-year-old Mohammed Hamoud Alessa of North Bergen and 26-year-old Carlos Eduardo Almonte of Elmwood Park were arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit international terrorism. Officials believe both of them are U.S. citizens. Fox News reports the two had been the subject of a years-long investigation, but FBI officials would not provide additional details. A 53-year-old TSA airport supervisor was killed by a gunshot, according to an autopsy conducted by officials in Melbourne, Florida. No arrests have been made in the case, but officials say Lewis Hawkins' gunshot wound was not self-inflicted. Police were called to a home in West Melbourne by Hawkins' wife, Yvette, early on a Friday morning last month. Police did say that his wife had taken out an injunction against him in 2008 because of a history of domestic violence. She was questioned by West Melbourne police and released, and a search warrant was carried out on the premises. FloridaToday.com reports that Hawkins had been a TSA supervisor at Melbourne International Airport. He was also a local real estate agent. Police said they had been called to the address on several occasions for domestic disputes. Still ahead, a union parses the rules to represent TSOs. A Delta flight attendant is arrested at a checkpoint, and plans for a DC-3 celebration move forward. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, June 9th. I'm Paul Plack. The American Federation of Government Employees has filed an appeal with the FLRA, the Federal Labor Relations Authority, asking that the full authority review and grant AFGE's petition for exclusive union representation at TSA. In an interesting twist, the union is asking for the exclusive right to represent TSA employees, but not for collective bargaining authorization. The distinction may be important. The FLRA turned down the union's first petition for an election, saying it doesn't have the jurisdiction to okay collective bargaining at TSA. AFG is back for the appeal with a reminder that it's not requesting collective bargaining rights, only the right to be the exclusive representation of employees in other matters, including disciplinary process. Union leaders point out they've already been serving in that role and that FLRA itself has already begun processing voluntary requests for union dues deductions from employee paychecks. AFGA Membership and Organization Deputy Director Kathy McQuiston notes, quote, AFGE is proud to have thought outside the box by seeking an election without bargaining rights. Other unions have said they believe having an exclusive representative is meaningless without the bargaining rights, but our 12,000 TSA members would disagree, unquote. The union has not commented on any plans to pursue collective bargaining rights in the future after its exclusivity is established. A Delta Airlines flight attendant has been arrested at Indianapolis International Airport for allegedly carrying a loaded Glock in her carry-on bag. She's been charged with entering a controlled area of an airport with a weapon and possession of a handgun with no permit. Both are misdemeanors. Amber Robillard of Atlanta allegedly had a 9mm Glock with a full 10-shot clip in a holster tucked into an interior compartment of her bag when it went through the X-ray machine at Indianapolis International just after 6 a.m. on Saturday. The Indianapolis Star reports she had no explanation. The 39-year-old was jailed in Marion County, Indiana. And finally, now that EAA AirVenture and an independent DC-3 enthusiast group have committed to separate celebrations of the 75th anniversary of the first flight of the Douglas DC-3, an agenda is coming together for the separate event at Whiteside County Airport in northern Illinois. The last time, the independent group is planning 4 days of activities honoring the DC-3, the C-47 military variant, and the people connected to the plane's history. The reunion activities, July 23rd through 26th, are open to the public at no charge other than parking and will include tours of many of the 40 or more planes expected, rides, storytelling, and music. And, of course, the massive formation flight on Monday the 26th, which no longer will be going north to Oshkosh. A single rare DC-2 will also be on hand, a plane that flew the Lindbergh line for TWA. Eric Lindbergh will be there and observes, quote, "Such a gathering in this day and age is extremely difficult to orchestrate and has all the markings of being one of the most unique and historical aviation events ever," unquote. Bernice B. Haydu, a member of the Women's Air Force Service Pilots, better known as WASPs, flew the C-47 during World War II. She'll be on hand as well. And a certain retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel will be there too. And given the recent friction between the last time and the Experimental Aircraft Association, his presence may be conspicuous. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Paul Poberesny has more than 6,700 hours in the C-47 and founded EAA back in 1953. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, part two of SpaceX CEO Elon Musk's press conference following last Friday's successful launch of the Falcon 9. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.